This episode of A Few Things with Claire and Erica is brought to you by the wonderful people at Bye Bye Baby. You should find one of their stores or go to buybuybaby.com if you know any babies.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica.
I'm Erica.
I'm Claire.
This is our weekly podcast. That is based off a newsletter that we send every Monday called 10 Things. That is about our 10 favorite discoveries.
Of that week.
Of that particular week.
We're like our 9 favorite discoveries and one that we scrambled to find at the last minute.
Which ends up being the thing that people are most excited about.
Always.
In addition to that, we have a website called Of a Kind where we tell the stories and sell the pieces of emerging designers and also have really cool beauty products and paper goods. That's like the asterisk and also these things.
I just had the best idea. Can we
tell me.
Podcast episode about the joys and pains of writing 10 things one time?
Yes.
And our process.
The highs and lows.
Yeah.
The emotional.
Yeah, exactly.
Despair we fall into.
Yeah. When both of us have the same 10 thing.
You know what? That's the biggest problem is that we spend so much time together.
Yeah.
And we'll go on to a dinner or something and have a wine that we like.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, damn it.
Who's going to put it?
Who's going to get it? How do we lay claim to these things? I bought Claire a Galentine's Day present and I was scrambling for something this week. And she was like, you're welcome to put that in. I was like, that's not fair. That's like the gift. Like
that's the
I
gift
gave
to
you this thing and you now also get it for 10
things.
And
I was like, I put your birthday gift in 10 things because bitch, I'll take what I can get. And I'm not as nice as you. I was like, that is priceless.
Speaking of love.
exactly.
The first thing we're going to talk about today is wedding dresses. I was thinking this morning that this feels like a very especially timely moment to talk about it because obviously, one, wedding season is approaching. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a certain amount of shaming that happens around you should already have your dress by now you're getting married this summer or this fall or even in 2017 and you should have that stuff sorted.
Well, they always say 6 months minimum, 3 months if you want to pay a rush fee. It's crazy.
And the bridal stores are really aggressive and rude.
That Racked.com has done a thing on this, but I do want to understand what the business model of these dressmakers is because they're making them to order and that's part of why it takes so long, but I still don't fully understand what's happening behind the scenes.
No, it's totally crazy. But I think we should be here to tell you that you're not too late ever to find a white dress because
guess
how many of them there are in the world. You still,
have
time.
You're right. If you're
the number of businesses that will overnight you a white dress between now and...
Well, I had a panic attack at the last minute about mine because there was a stain that they couldn't get out and they kept screwing it up. And I said, and now my family and friends make so much fun of me because I was like, it's fine. I'm just going to order one on the internet. It's fine. I'm going to order a white dress from Net-a-Porter. And everybody's like, no, you're not.
But didn't one of the designers that we work with on the site, Bridey from Thing Industries,
had a
wedding
to
dress
her.
Debacle.
Yeah.
And she ended up doing a last minute order and she looked fantastic.
We need to dig up a picture and put it on the site. She was one good-looking bride.
So finding wedding dresses.
Yes.
We both took totally different paths to finding dresses, but both went super untraditional and didn't buy it at a bridal salon.
Yeah, neither of us got it at a bridal salon. No, neither of us wore gowns. So you knew what you wanted right from the start.
Yeah, and I was doing a city hall wedding, which I knew 100% was what I wanted. And then I was doing a party later. So I wanted a dress that could do both of those things. And we were at some Fashion Week presentations and we were at a Kaylin show. And I was I just want that dress.
Yeah.
And it was a brown leather dress or a bronze leather dress, and you were like, you should email
just
her and
her.
See if she would make that dress for you in
totally
white.
Totally do that.
Which she did, which was amazing. It was so not a process.
Well, what was amazing, but you knew that you wanted what the dress was a short, above the knee fitted, almost
60s, really classic cut.
It had
an A-line skirt.
Yeah. And But you hadn't had the idea that it would be leather.
No, I hadn't had the idea that it would be leather. But the leather thing for me is what, like,
oh my God, it's amazing. Well, so, right. So the Kaylin dress was like brown metallic leather. And you were just pointing out, like, I like that shape.
Yeah.
But it was that perfect moment of inspiration to be like, fuck, a white leather dress would be amazing.
It's like kind of bomb.
Amazing.
It's like, yeah. Because it's like this super classic, almost like Jackie Kennedy could wear this like shape. But then the white leather, just like, yeah.
And Kaylin is super talented as like a technical designer. And so was able to find the right weight and just make it look really perfect. And it just, any reservations you would have about, you know, it was leather, right? Is it going to sit weird? It just looked incredible.
And I know, you know, this is like not everybody can just like get a dress made by a designer necessarily, but I think more you should reach out to designers more than you think.
That's the thing. Like, we were in a really nice position that you were friendly with Kaylin and she was so lovely to work with, but a lot of these smaller designers, if the pattern's already made, it's not a huge jump.
That is the thing. And I also think, you know, that there are a lot of dressmakers who, if you have a shape that you like, if you, you know, know what direction you're going, and if you aren't looking for like a full length beaded situation, could probably take an existing black dress that you really love, how it fits on you, and make that for you in, if you wanted a white dress, white or champagne or, you know, whatever.
I've seen that happen. This blogger that we love, Nora Leah, had a dress that was like a dress that she had worn to some ball. And it was from, it was one of these Target collaborations. And she just loved it. She loved the way it fit. She felt amazing in it. So when it was time for her wedding, she took this gown to a dressmaker and was like, I just want this in white. She had picked out the fabric herself. But these things are doable. And I do think the most important thing is figuring out sort of what you feel comfortable in and then and narrowing it down from there.
Totally.
Which is not, and not everybody knows right off the bat. I really didn't know.
So how did you get there?
So I did have a vague sense that I wanted a sort of 90s minimalist look. Like I was thinking very Calvin Klein, spaghetti strap, simple Carolyn Bessette Kennedy vibes.
Kate Moss.
Exactly. But my mother really wanted to do the whole like going to the bridal
salons
things. Which I wasn't necessarily opposed to, but
it's also like just a fun activity.
Exactly.
You don't have to go in there thinking you're gonna buy a dress. It's fun to try on a crazy dress.
And my mother and I have like a deep history of shopping together and that being at the core of our relationship, and so that ritual in and of itself was an important part of the process. And so we went to a couple of different, just the classic bridal boutiques. Well, we also went to Stone Fox Bride, which is less classic and I think one of the more awesome ones in New York. But I tried on all these bridal gowns and felt really uncomfortable because I'd never actually worn a gown ever in my life. Like I never, you know, I guess
you didn't feel like yourself.
And I was like, this is the day where I want to feel the most like myself because I'm getting married.
You want to be the best version of yourself.
Exactly. And it was just like, why would I wear this thing where I felt like a fantasy version of me? Like getting married to Chris is a fantasy, right? So I went through that process and it was just helpful to figure out what I liked and what I didn't like. And then I was like being a brat and I was like, I hate this. I'm so sick of it. I don't want to try on any more dresses. And my mom had the idea of going to Oscar de la Renta, which I didn't end up buying a dress there, but I all of a sudden just like cooled off and relaxed and started having a lot of fun because I was trying on just dresses and they weren't bridal gowns and there wasn't the pressure of that. And I was
because you felt like you were like the Anne Hathaway character in a movie or in Princess Diaries or something. You're like, this is just fun.
It was like my mood just completely turned on a dime. And I was like, oh, these are clothes. These are dresses. This isn't a wedding gown. Just the pressure was gone. And I love clothes and I love fashion, but something about them all being white and in this bridal gown situation. And I think probably also like bridal lines design with certain things in mind, like modesty and like less, more classic and whatever. And it just wasn't working for me. So once I had figured out at Oscar de la Renta, I was like, okay, I just want to go like the fashion route. We went to Barney's after that and just it continued like, let's just try on cocktail dresses and gowns. And I found this white one that fit my like minimalist 90s dream from Juan Carlos Obando. And it was like the last one on the rack. It was several sizes too big, but it was just what I wanted. And I went for it. So it was just it was a cocktail gown, really, that because Barney's doesn't have a bridal salon. They just have, you know, dresses and some of them are white.
And so then you had it tailored to shit.
To shit.
Well, not to shit. Well, like you.
I was like, Well, I did have it tailored to shit because I had to go back. I was like, I thought you were referencing the fact that it was kind of a shit show because it was this, it was this white silk that had no texture to it at all. So it showed every single stain. So when it was getting tailored, it was like getting marks on it. It was so, it was just really stressful. And that's where at some point, like Madame Paulette, the fancy dry cleaners in the Upper East Side of New York had done all they could do. And I was like, I think I need to get a new dress. But it ultimately all worked out. Yeah, I had it tailored. My mom made my veil for me because it was very modern and it was very simple, and it the only thing that was bridal about it was white,
right?
And so my mom and her like bestie, who is a shoe salesman, Manolo Blahnik, convinced me that my accessories had to be more bridal and that I needed white shoes and a veil, and I agreed, and I think they were right, because it now when I look at the pictures, I'm like, there's me as a bride.
Totally. Shoes and shoe matching. This is, I know, not to derail it too much from dresses. But I feel like this is
so this was
point.
Important. So I had wanted to wear like a nude heel, and Ben at Manolo Blahnik was like, no, you're not walking down a runway. Like, you're walking down an aisle and you need a white shoe. So I got the classic white Dorsey pump from Manolo Blahnik, and I thought everything was going to be fine. And thank God I decided to bring them with me to a fitting. It was only by chance.
It like only occurred to you randomly. Yeah.
Right. I was like, it was more, I was bringing them for height, and I stood in the dressing room at Barney's and I was like, these shoes are like a bright, almost bluish white. And my dress was a soft white.
Yeah.
And I was like terrified because I also was like, I don't know if you can match a white, right?
Right. It's not like a navy or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I took it to another establishment that is very close to my heart, Leather Spa in New York,
yes.
Who are absolute magicians who dye shoes. Well, they do everything. They'll like clean your leather.
They'll basically
your
remake
shoes.
Your boots.
They
but
will.
Also,
it's incredible. Yeah. And I brought in a swatch of my dress and I brought in the shoes and they were like, yeah, no problem. And to the naked eye, you would never have known that these shoes had changed, but all of a sudden they were the same color as my dress somehow. It was like magic. The thing you do have to be careful about with satin shoes like that can be dyed is that if you do it too much, they will shrink. And they might not fit as well, but I highly recommend that.
I took shoes as an opportunity to do something blue.
Yes.
And did like blue snakeskin and
amazing.
Suede shoes.
And they were just like kind of crazy. And your dress was so simple and it was like,
they were like the pop
fun accessory.
What was I going to say to you? Something. Oh, Off the Rack is like our sort of second option. And we're rounding up a set of dresses that we like, dresses and like suits and jumpsuits and whatever, because it doesn't have to be a dress. Like, what?
That was like the lesson I took away from it. And what I tell everybody is, you know, go to the bridal places to try on the stuff. And if you find something there, great. But there's something about Off the Rack that you're just going to feel more like yourself and feel less pressure about it. And if you are intimidated by buying a wedding dress, then just go to a department store or
completely.
Wherever.
And if you want something that's in between those options, there are so many cool bridal stores popping up everywhere. You mentioned Stone Fox Bride in New York, which is like such a thing.
Awesome.
Lovely in New York. Mm-hmm. And Motion White. Motion she started as a clothing designer and then became a jewelry designer, and now is sort of merging those worlds.
And she has an awesome shop of home stuff and her jewelry, and we've worked with her on the site. And now, she has this bridal salon. And in LA, there is a shop called Bride in Echo Park, has vintage and new. Chicago Mignonette. Chicago also has Sarah Seven, which is apparently also in San Francisco.
And Sarah Seven is a very popular wedding dress line. It's sort of like one of those indie lines that if you're looking for something that's maybe a little bit traditional, but not, you know, full-blown ball gown, that's a good line to look at. And then The Sentimentalist in Atlanta carries lines like Elizabeth Dye, who also falls into that category. And then Hackwith just launched a bridal or a wedding collection, too, on the internets. So, again, order a dress from the internet. Who cares?
Do it. You know what? The other thing we forgot to talk about is I love the tradition of wearing your mother's wedding dress, your aunt's wedding dress, or whatever, if it's still available. And a friend of ours, Jamie Stelter, had her mother's wedding dress, which was all yellowed and out of
just
shape.
Like aged.
She took it to Madame Paulette. They tailored it and cleaned it, and it looked phenomenal on her. You never would have known it wasn't new. And I think part of that was just, you know, altering it a little bit to be more modern. And I think that's something you can totally do if you find a really awesome tailor or dry cleaner.
Completely. All right, we're going to pop to commercial.
Uh-huh.
So we are not parents.
Ooh, do you think that this is like breaking news? TMZ exclusive right here on Heritage Radio Network. We do not have kids. But we know people who do.
Tons of them. Brothers even. Yes. You would be shocked by how close we are to people who have children.
And we do a lot of like, but how do you figure all of this out? How do you decide what you need? And the answer so often is bye-bye baby. It turns out of another thing we did not know because we do not have kids, of all of the baby stores out there, bye-bye
baby. In the baby galaxy.
Bye-bye baby is the hip one. Like, I seriously ask your friends.
They have the best jogging strollers, yes. The like video monitors.
They have the self-installing car seats, all the crazy stuff. And they also have the basic stuff. So it's like the spot to go for expecting mothers. Part of the reason people love them so much is because they hire so many mothers to work in their stores.
People who've gone through this, people who know what exactly. You need and what you don't need. Which
Mompreneurs.
And I think the like what you don't need thing is such a key thing. Totally. Another thing that they do that helps with that is their registry is super social oriented. Mm-hmm. So your friends and family members who do have like all the tips on this can share that and make sure you're like nailing that thing. So that
you're like, girl, don't get that diaper pail. You will still be able to smell those stinky diapers. Get this one.
Bye-bye baby. Make sure you get the right diaper pail.
That's right.
Yeah, totally.
You're welcome, bye-bye baby marketing department.
Yeah.
All right. Go check them out. There's probably a bye-bye baby by you where you can make an appointment online to meet with an expert. So you just like have the appointment set to go. You're good.
Do it.
Or just start your online registry and get your
Bye-byebaby.com.
That's right. Bye. Hey, we're back.
We are. It's true. No more wedding dresses for us. We're moving on.
We're moving on to a topic that I've
that is maybe
been
nearer and dearer to you than weddings.
I am so excited. Well, here's the thing that to connect it.
Your
to
face
weddings.
Is like Jesse Spano right now. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
This is what I say. I say, in 2014, I got married. In 2015, we sold our business. In 2016, I got laser hair removal. And these are the milestones in my life.
How many times have you practiced that in front of the mirror? It was so good.
I just wanted to make sure I got it right. And we have the woman responsible here.
For your 2016 dreams.
Yes. Andrea Young from Beam Laser Spa, which is on the at Midtown Columbus Circle in New York City. Andrea, get close to the mic. Get really cozy with it. Yeah. There you go. So she's here to answer all of the questions we have about laser hair.
She's currently removing the hair from both of our bodies. So she's a real expert.
Or she's employing the people who
fair.
Are.
Fine. Okay, fine.
No hair will be left behind.
So tell us, Andrea, just like what is laser hair removal besides permanent hair removal?
So laser hair removal works by targeting the pigment inside the roots of a person's hair.
Okay.
So what that means is that the hair must have color to it.
Okay.
So it works the best for brunettes like us. Mm-hmm. And the texture is also important. The hair must be not only dark, it should also have a bristly texture.
It's so funny because it's the only time I've been so excited to have this thick Eastern European hair. Like, you know, I got waxed for the longest time and it's the type of thing that waxers would constantly complain about and be mean to me about and make me feel bad about. And so this is the first time in any hair removal situation where someone has complimented
me. They were like, you're blessed.
Encouraged me and been like, you're the perfect
this
client.
This is great.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Well, the hair on my legs isn't coarse enough.
Yeah.
Or at least like on my thighs isn't coarse enough to be,
I'm sorry.
To be like an ideal candidate like you.
I feel like this is the thing. I feel like I'm like a star student. They're like, your hair is so thick and coarse.
And you're so pale.
Yes, exactly. All of these things. They're like, it's great. So, go ahead.
Oh, so then so it's targeting the pigment. So how does the laser itself work, or how does it target the pigment?
So laser is basically light energy.
Okay.
So the light energy emitted from the laser is going to penetrate our skin and it's going to settle deep into the follicle. Once it settles into the follicle, it transforms into heat energy.
Okay.
And it's actually the heat that's applied to the hair that eventually kills the hair.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
As much as something like that is ever going to make sense is because I don't understand how hair works. But
totally. Well, this is, I think, something that's been interesting for me for this process. I feel like I've learned a lot more about hair and how that functions. And I learned about growth cycles.
Sure.
So you probably know, if you've ever Googled laser hair removal at all, that it takes a certain number of treatments to be effective. So 6 to 8, 6 to 10, something like that, to have lasting effects.
So at Beam, we tell our clients anywhere between 6 to 12 sessions. Okay. It would be amazing if there were a set number of sessions that would work completely 100% for everybody. But through all of our years of being in business, we know that some people need to come back for more.
Right.
And we really pride ourselves in being very ethical and upfront with expectations for our clients.
Totally.
Because they're spending a lot of money and we want everybody to be very happy.
Yeah, totally.
With what they purchase.
So one of the reasons why you have to come so many times to do it, or to like repeat visits, is because of growth cycles.
Correct. Yes.
So basically, all of the follicles aren't producing hair at the same times. Like, hair has to go through three different stages.
Correct.
Can you explain that?
So the ideal growth cycle is when the bulb or the root of the hair has the most amount of pigment in it.
Huh. I see.
So the idea is that if you hit... Scientists have looked into this, and they kind of figured out that that growth cycle happens about every 8 weeks or so.
Okay.
So the idea is that if you hit those hairs every 8 weeks, eventually, if you do enough sessions,
you'll get all of them.
Any one area, you'll get about 85 to 90%.
Got it.
Yeah. And we never say 100% because I feel 100% is
hard.
Almost impossible.
100% you're not going to get for anything.
Yeah.
I can say that For me, I'm like a proactive commercial about this. I want to do a proactive like commercial about this because
it's
that life changing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But for me, I just, after my first treatment, we did a treatment and then we did a 2 week touch up to catch anything that was missed.
Correct.
And after that, my legs were smoother than they had ever been in my entire life. And
Isn't it amazing?
It's incredible. And again, I know I sound like a proactive commercial, but when you're like an insecure 14-year-old girl and you're like, the guys are totally going to notice, and and you see the black, you just can never get your legs completely smooth. I'm like, wow, this is life changing.
Yes.
So I can only imagine after six sessions what it's going to be like. And for me, I waxed all the time, and it is so expensive. It's so time consuming.
Correct.
So, you sort of amortize it. Laser hair removal is huge time and cost savings because you do it, over the course of 1 year or a little bit more, and you're done for life. And the amount of time and money I will save from not going back to doing waxing all the time is
And the other thing about waxing is that you have to grow the hair out in order to have a treatment, and who wants to do that?
It's very annoying.
With laser, when you're in between your treatments and you have an event or you have a vacation, you can shave.
Yeah.
You don't have to have the hair exposed to the top of the skin.
Totally. So to get back to something you were saying, Claire, the time and the money. How long is I was shocked by how quick it was. Like, you go in, and I have been getting my armpits and my bikini line done, and it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
tops, which just feels like crazy.
It's so quick. It's it's a kind of faster than getting waxed in that way.
It's basically, just to give you an example, if a person's coming in and they're doing an upper lip, it would literally take 7 pulses, give or take.
Wow.
So that means 30 seconds.
Wow.
If a woman is doing her underarms, as both of you know, it takes approximately 2 minutes and you're done. One can do half a leg, either the lower half or the upper leg, in 30 minutes or less. Full legs, 45 minutes, and male backs, about an hour.
That's impressive.
Is there any part of the body you can't do or that you wouldn't recommend doing?
Yes, there is a part of the body that we actively discourage women from doing at Beam, and that is the face.
Yeah.
Just because the face is such a hormonal place of the body.
Totally.
That it doesn't experience the same dramatic results that, for example, underarms or bikini.
Interesting.
Because different things are fueling the hair growth on your face.
Correct.
Okay.
And sometimes if you take a woman at 20, she may have one tiny little chin hair.
Yeah.
Fast forward 5 years, she may have a little sprouting, a group.
Yeah.
And then so forth and so on.
Right.
At 30, she'll have more. And the same thing happens with men. Men, as they get older, they start getting additional back hair, sometimes additional chest hair, nose hair, and ear hair. All these charming
things. Fun parts of it. I'm just actually really glad you pointed out. I'm like, right, for those of you who are not 30 yet, wait for it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
So can you, one question I have is...
Wait, we have to go back to cost.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
How much does it cost?
So to give you an example... A Brazilian bikini has been our number one seller since the day that we opened.
Okay. I believe it.
Just because it's so, quote unquote, life changing.
Yeah.
So a single session for Brazilian is $325.
Yeah.
And a package of six is $1,625. So all our six packs, we call them, are six for the price of five.
Totally.
Okay. And yes, absolutely. It is expensive. Yeah. However, if you're
someone who's waxing and you're going
all
the time.
If you do a cost-benefit analysis, it pays for itself in a couple of years, 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
For me, because I was getting everything waxed, like underarm, bikini, like it's such a no-brainer.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you use laser hair removal to thin out hair in areas where you want to keep it? So say a guy has like really thick leg hair and he just wants to thin it out. Could you do that with laser hair?
Absolutely. Completely possible. So a lot of guys do that, like you said, on their legs.
Yep.
We have a lot of athletes that want to not get rid of it completely, but they want to
make it more sparse and more
aesthetically pleasing, if you will.
Yeah.
So then you just do less treatments?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So you target the entire leg, but you only do it once or twice, basically, instead of six
exactly.
times.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll get a nice reduction, but it's not going to be completely bald.
Okay. How do you know if you are eligible for it? Like, is the only way to sort of come in, or if, you know, someone's listening and they're like, you know what, I have like, you know, sort of pale hair and dark skin, it's never going to work for me.
Yeah, I would say the first thing is, unfortunately, it's still absolutely necessary to have very dark hair and coarse hair.
Okay. Okay.
So think color and texture of bikini and underarm hair.
Okay. Yeah.
With that bristliness that most women have.
Okay. Do you think a couple years from now they'll have lasers that are even more advanced that can attack the thinner hair?
Possibly. Yeah. I've been hearing rumblings about it.
Okay.
I'm actually going to a big national laser conference in Boston
in a few weeks.
So they always it's all the best dermatologists and plastic surgeons from all over the country and all over the world. And they always present the new technologies, the new techniques. Mm-hmm. So there may be something like that, hopefully, coming down in the future.
But skin pigment, you're definitely so much less pale than we are. And it works for you.
Yes.
So skin pigment, that's a little bit more flexible than hair color.
Yes. So a few years ago... scientists discovered a special wavelength, and wavelength is just a name for a light, for example. So the YAG wavelength, YAG, was discovered. And the beautiful thing about the YAG is that it penetrates much deeper into a person's skin, which allows people of my skin tone and darker to be treated safely. But I must say, for people of my pigment and anyone darker, it's absolutely necessary. So even if you're not coming to Beam Laser Spa, just be very educated, be very savvy. And that should be one of your questions. Do you have a YAG?
Interesting.
Thank you. That's so
super
useful.
Helpful.
Absolutely.
What other questions should people be asking if they can't come to Beam, if they don't live in New York, if they're just exploring this possibility?
I really just encourage people to do several consultations, as many as they can. It's not just one thing. I think it's a combination of the professionalism of the people that work there, how upfront they are about expectations.
Yep.
Be aware of possibility of hard sells. I mean, that happens in every business, but just have that in the back of your mind. So walking out of a place, if you feel like you were presented with reasonable information...
And you have to be prepared to go back there like 10 times. So
exactly.
You have to feel good about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
When I first decided I wanted to do this, my mother was like,
absolutely not are you getting a laser pointed that close to your uterus. Yeah. And she was like, you need to do some research on this. So I did. And not only that, but I asked my doctor who I was seeing at the time, and she was like, oh, totally. I've had it done and it's incredible. And it gets better. And I thought of this because of what you were saying. The laser doesn't go in that far.
Exactly.
It's not reaching down past like stuff that you have to worry about. Yeah.
It's not hitting organs here.
That was the other thing. My mom was like, your lymph nodes in your armpits. Like, you got to worry about this. And so I went to my doctor and she was like, I had it done. It was life changing. And if you think the laser can go in that far, you're crazy.
But that's actually a very good question. And a lot of clients ask us that when they first come in. Yeah. And they also ask about possibility of, you know, cancer causing effects. And that's absolutely a no, because of the same reason. Yeah. The laser doesn't penetrate deep enough to get into our cells and mutate our DNA and cause a cancerous event.
Is there anything where you should not, should you not do it if you're pregnant? Should you not do it if you're nursing? Anything like that we need to be aware of?
Yes. So we do not treat pregnant or nursing women.
Okay.
From my research, there aren't risks per se, but we just want to take that off the table just because pregnancies can be so complicated to begin with.
Absolutely.
God forbid there's a complication. We don't want the client to be thinking, oh,
should I have not done that thing?
Right. Correct.
Yeah, totally.
So
it seems like a smart move.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we also discourage, we get these requests once in a while. We discourage people from doing anything within their near their eyes.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, because I bet people want to do their eyebrows.
People want to do their eyebrows, which is surprising to me, but they do. They want to do their unibrow.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, you know what? In my humble opinion, at Beam, we don't feel it's safe.
Yeah.
It's such a small area. Just get it either plucked or do electrolysis if you really want it gone.
Oh, so that's a good question. What is the difference between electrolysis and laser hair removal?
Sure. So electrolysis works by, it's a needle that goes into each hair follicle.
And that sounds so painful.
Yes, it's painful, and it's it works really well, but it can be a little bit painful, and it's a little bit, it's not as efficient as laser in the sense that the laser covers such a larger area. So, for example, if you're doing a full leg with electrolysis, you have to be ready to be at the place for hours and hours.
And in serious pain.
Yes. So,
Well, because a laser is also painful, but I find it tolerable. And I also will, like, take, you know, a painkiller before, like, Tylenol or whatever. And then I find it's almost like a rubber band snapping at you or something.
Exactly.
But it's not intolerable for me.
I find that most women, we're pretty tough.
Yeah.
we're used to all of these bizarre treatments and facials and extractions and all of these things and Botox. So we feel it, but we just kind of deal with it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I was surprised by
same
the lack of pain I felt.
And it's also even on the areas where it does sting a little bit, it's such a fast sensation.
Yeah, it's over immediately.
Right. It's almost the second your brain starts to catch up with the little bit of pain, it's already over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
What's the youngest you would do it on somebody?
Like, so the youngest.
I want to know because I'm bringing my future daughter in immediately.
Sure. Well.
And she's not even, born yet.
Yeah, she's not even gestating yet. She's just, you know, a hypothetical.
That's a great question, by the way. We prefer to have clients no younger than 18.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
This has been amazing and so enlightening, and I feel like, we've learned so much.
Oh my gosh, I'm so obsessed. I could talk about it forever. I really just don't know why you wouldn't. Unless some people want to keep their body hair on,
and that's totally,
fine.
Yeah.
If you want to take it off,
This
is a seriously life-changing way to do it.
You have been listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Heritage Radio Network. On March 30th, we are having installment 2 of our book club.
That's right. Hashtag reading things.
We're
going to talk about A Sleepwalker's Guide to Dancing by Mira Jacob, an awesome, really good book that we both loved. I cried a lot and kind of cursed Erica for making me read it.
For assigning it to you.
Because it was so sad, but so good.
But funny sad, too.
Yeah, it was, and funny. And so hurry up and read it so that you can be a part of our discussion. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Please do. Sign up for our newsletter on ofakind.com. That's the show.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.